COVID-19. Pay close attention to this message. You could be entitled to a death benefit of over $300,000. The U.S. government has set up a fund to pay families relief if they've lost a loved one due to COVID-19. We know this is a hard time for you, and this fund has been set up by the federal government to help ease your pain. The compensation includes a death benefit and lost wages benefit. Time is limited, so we urge you to make a free phone call right now. There's no cost to you for this claim. All legal fees are only covered once you receive your money. So if you've lost a loved one due to COVID-19, call the legal helpline right now to find out if you qualify for a cash award. Here's our number. 800-918-4086. 800-918-4086. 800-918-4086. That's 800-918-4086. Paid for by the IPG Law Group.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
It is absolutely necessary that we all get together, we work together, we respect each other, we like and love each other.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is it. Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but hardly duplicated, 37, no, make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. When I say modest, think caps. I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion and an award-winning boxing writer. So allegedly, supposedly, I should know a little bit about boxing. But guess what? The average fan, you know a little bit more. You buy the pay-per-views, or do you? Straight up, I open up the listener line at the top of each hour just for you. 1-800-878-7529. You want to talk to us live on the air? You can do this. 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. You want to text me here in the studio? The text line? Studio text line, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. Of course, the boxing world still smarting over the heist in Las Vegas, of course, 2 weeks in a row, controversy in Las Vegas. Of course, there was Tony Weeks stopping that Raleigh Romero Barbosa fight for absolutely no apparent reason. I mean, that was like mind-boggling, okay? Probably the worst stoppage maybe since Joey Curtis stopping Mike Weaver and Michael Doakes back, I think, in 1983, something like that. Anyway, a bad, bad stoppage. Then the next week, they come back with this decision, and they take it from Vasyl Lomachenko. I thought he clearly won the fight. Wasn't a major fight as far as major decision as far as number of rounds concerned, but he won the fight definitely. If it's a 12-round fight, he definitely won the 12-round fight, and he got jobbed. We'll talk about that more. And, of course, Tyson Fury. Man, I'm down on Tyson Fury. Find out why after the break. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217, and like 1,000 other internet platforms. Straight up. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
I switched to Boost Mobile and got a free Samsung Galaxy A23 5G phone. Want to know the best part?
It was free?
Nope.
The fact that it's on America's largest 5G networks?
Nope. It's the ding.
Oh, yeah. Love the ding.
Right? It's all about the ding. It's the dingarooski, the dingaroner, the ring-a-ding-ding.
Unleash your power to save with Boost. Get a free Samsung Galaxy A23 5G phone when you switch. Boost Mobile. Unleash your power.
And the ding.
Limited time offer. New customers only. Available on select networks. 5G not available everywhere. One device per line. Tax excluded. Additional restrictions apply. See your local Boost Mobile store for details.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. Ouch! Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. If you administer insulin 3 or more times per day or use an insulin pump, call now and learn how a CGM can help you.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free and they took care of all the paperwork.
work.
You can reduce pain right away. Plus, it's accurate, easy to use, and helps you spend more time in range. And if you have insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now and get free shipping of your new CGM. Plus, we'll bill your insurance for you. 800-390-5160. 800-390-5160. 800-390-5160. That's 800-390-5160.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-378-3508. 800-378-3508. That's 800-378-3508. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Angie's List is now Angie, your home for everything home. With Angie, you could cross your next project off your to-do list before this ad is over. Just tell us what you need and we'll handle the rest, sending a top pro to get it done. Or browse reviews, compare quotes from pros, and connect instantly, all for free. For everything from routine maintenance to a dream remodel. Because however you want your project done, we'll get it done. Download the app or go to Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com to get started.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. Sing along if you know the words. And I knew
Fury, of course, the linear world heavyweight champion. Can I say, he is undefeated, and of course the three fights he had with Deontay Wilder were like epic fights, especially the first and the second. But, you know, I got to say, what have you done for me lately? I mean, the bottom line is, you know, Tyson Fury is, without a doubt, not the greatest guy in the world right now. He just isn't. I mean, I don't know what to say about him. I mean, he came on the scene. I mean, I thought to myself, the guy's 6'9", 6'10". The guy is not built like a boxer, he's built like a girl, you know, I mean, or a fat girl, got a big old ass and small shoulders and stuff like that. But, hey, he can fight. There's no doubt about it. He's 6'9". I think that's the most compelling factor, is the fact he's 6'9" and close to 300 pounds. Anyway, bottom line is he was supposed to fight Anthony Joshua at one point in time. Then he was going to fight Oleg Usyk a whole lot of times. Then he was going to fight some clown from Australia last week. And now he's going to fight possibly Jay Apodaca. And I think he's like a cruiserweight. So, I mean, I don't know what's up with Tyson Fury. But the bottom line is, you know, I look at Tyson Fury myself and I say to myself, you know, no, Tyson Fury is just not my, he's just not my, he's not the guy that I thought he was. Anyway, bottom line is he deserves to be put to. We had a sound clip in there and it didn't work, so that was supposed to be the sound clip on that factory. But
because he's a bum.
Yeah, that's it. Because he's a bum. Bottom line is because he's a bum. Okay, Tyson Fury is a bum. Anyway, we'll see what Tyson Fury does. Let's go to last week's boxing results. Of course, boxing was rocking and rolling a couple weeks ago with Devin Haney, of course, and Vasyl Lomachenko vying for the world lightweight championship. Of course, most people think that Lomachenko won that fight. I'll go into that in depth a little bit later. But there's a bout today. I think it's on DAZN, the first one. Mauricio Lara and Lee Wood, of course, are supposed to vie for the WBA featherweight title. But Lara, a thug to begin with, he knocked Lee Wood out the last time. I think he was behind on points, and he knocked Lee Wood out. But that was sort of his ploy, is to let the skinny guy get tired and worn and this kind of stuff, and then bust him up. Anyway, Mauricio Lara came in 3.5 pounds overweight. For a 126-pound title fight, he weighed 129 pounds. You know what that tells me? He's good. This was on purpose. Screw the title. Forget the title. I don't need the title. I go in here and beat this dude, have a big weight advantage of him, because if he weighed 129 at the weigh-in, you know he's going to weigh even more come fight time. So he might weigh 140 pounds. The other guy maybe 132, 133, 134. Anyway, bottom line is Lee Wood doesn't put on the weight that Mauricio Lara is going to put on, and that is detrimental. Say it again, detrimental to to Leawood. I think Leawood's going to lit up like a White House Christmas tree. Of course, also today, Lawrence Okoli is defending a cruiserweight title against Chris William Smith. But Lara and Wood was going to be the fight of the weekend, I thought. I thought it was going to be the real big fight of the weekend, but it just didn't happen that way. Just doesn't look like it's going to happen that way, of course, with the title not being on the line. And some people say to me, oh, not a title, why not? Listen, titles don't mean anything nowadays. There's so many titles out there. Few titles mean anything. The linear world heavyweight championship at Tyson Fury, the aforementioned Tyson Fury holds, that means something. Because it used to be he who controls the heavyweight champion controls boxing. But that ain't happening no more. I think Ray Leonard, actually Sugar Ray Robinson probably broke that mold first back in the 50s. And then Muhammad Ali, first Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali, and guys like that. And then Ray Leonard broke that mold, of course. And when he came along, then Marvin Hagler to an extent, they controlled boxing, but they weren't the heavyweight champion of the world. Marvin Hagler, Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, those guys were hot at one point in time, making all kinds of money, the pound-for-pound greats. Speaking of pound-for-pound greats, somebody asked me the other day to rate Tommy Hearns as far as all-time welterweight is concerned. I rate him number 2. I think he would have drilled Ray Robinson. Ooh, I just do. Here's what's up. Tommy Hearns went into the Sugar Ray Leonard fight, of course, September 1981, the unification match, of course, in Las Vegas, ended in the 14th round with my buddy, the late Davey Pearl, the referee, of course, the manager of Sonny Liston at one point in time, actually when Sonny died. He stopped that fight in the 14th round, but I think Tommy fought the wrong strategy going in there. Tommy was a hit man. Tommy put hurt on people. Tommy went in there and decapitated people with right hands, long right hands. Of course, he couldn't punch as an amateur. He couldn't punch his way out of a paper bag. I mean, he was feeble looking as an amateur. I used to watch him in the amateur say to myself, man, he tall. That's about it, tall. Okay, Aaron Pryor beat him a couple times in the amateurs. Anyway, he developed his punch in the professional ranks of Emanuel Stewart, develops him into the most feared puncher, I think, in the history of the welterweight division. Nobody hit quite as hard as the 6'1" Tommy Hearns from Detroit, Michigan, okay? I mean, look what he did to Pino Cuevas, Roberto. He hit Roberto Duran so hard, I thought he should have been arrested right then and there for, like, attempted murder. I mean, he faked Duran to the belly. Duran thought he was throwing a body shot, so Duran looked down, and he got hit on the chin with a punch he didn't even see coming. And probably the greatest punch I've ever seen thrown. I mean, you would not believe it. I've heard baseballs get hit out of parks, like Willie Mays and guys like that. That's when it sounded like, crack! Somebody hitting a home run out of the park. I kid you not. But that was Tommy Hearns. So Tommy Hearns goes into this fight with Ray Leonard, of course, goes in a little bit weight-worn because he came in 144, 143, somewhere 144.5 pounds. And he looked at his manager, then Emanuel Stewart, and said, hey, what the duck, man? Why am I so light? Anyway, of course, he straightened to make the weight. Emanuel tried to blame it on Tommy. He said that Tommy was in the shower at Caesar's Palace and locked himself in the bathroom, steamed himself out in the bathroom. And then Tommy says it's Emanuel. Emanuel brought him down the weight. Anyway, Emanuel and Tommy exchanges these vicious looks at the weigh-in for the Sugar Ray Leonard fight. Of course, that was in Las Vegas. So Tommy comes out and he starts boxing Ray Leonard. I mean, like jabbing, and like he was like Tommy Hearns, the amateur. Like, I'm saying to myself, what's going on here? This ain't the hit, man. What's going on? And then what happened? About the fifth round, I think it was in the fifth round, Ray Leonard cracked his rib. I mean, seriously, hit him with a shot in the body, cracked his rib. Tommy was never the same. Of course, Tommy would get stopped in the 14th round. Of course, Davey Pearl, the referee, my late friend, he stopped that fight. Nobody bitched. Nobody complained. Tommy Hearns didn't complain. Emanuel Stewart didn't complain. Nobody complained. Of course, Sugar Ray Leonard, the undisputed world welterweight champion. But had Tommy gone out and tried and not been intimidated by Ray Leonard, I think he was intimidated to an extent, and the weight was, I think, shook him to an extent as well. But had he went out there and done his thing, I think he'd have got Ray out of there. I think he would, because I just don't think that Ray could have handled that incoming fire. Tommy's hitting you. You can't hit him because he's hitting you from a distance. I mean, a big distance. 6'1", Ray was about 5'10", but 6'1" to 5'10", and Tommy could crack. So I think Tommy blew that fight. I think Tommy could have been the best welterweight of all time. As far as welterweights are concerned, all-time welterweights, of course, I judge Ray Charles Leonard the best. And why do I do that? People say, oh, well, you know, Ray Robinson had this great record at 147. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, I talked with Ray Robinson, June of 1984, in fact, a couple of days we were together, staying in the same hotel across from each other in the Aladdin Hotel in Las Vegas. Of course, we were there for the aforementioned Tommy Hearns knocking out Roberto Duran. Anyway, spent a couple days with him there, and he said to me, basically, I said, you know, why don't you break down Ray Leonard for me? So, blah, 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 blah. At the end of all, he says, Ray's basically a faster, harder-hitting version of myself. I took that as meaning that Ray Robinson thought that Ray Leonard was better than him. I mean, that's what he was saying. And I think he's right, because when I look at the – listen, I mean, Ray Robinson was a great fighter. I mean, epic fighter. He changed the fight game, this and that. But a lot of the stuff that he was doing back then was revolutionary at that point in time, but it's not revolutionary anymore. And I think that Marvin Hagler, although I don't consider Marvin Hagler the greatest fighter of all time, because at the end of his rope, of course, he got extended by Roberto Duran, almost got beat by Roberto Duran, was losing after 12 rounds with Duran. And of course, he had the 12 rounder with Ray Leonard, the aforementioned Ray Leonard, in which he gave up four of the first five rounds, which is about like boxing stupidity, boxing ignorance. I mean, listen, boxing's all about math. Whether you're landing punches or scoring rounds, it's all about math, the numbers, okay? If you win four rounds out of a 12-round fight, okay, I only need to win three more to win this fight. So Ray wins the first four rounds, or Marvin Hagler gives up the first four rounds, and all Ray's got to do is win three down the stretch. And he did that easily, without a doubt. Okay, so when I pitched this to Marvin Hagler, he didn't come across the table at me or come across, get off the couch and like grab me by the throat or anything like that. He sort of went with it. You see, he could see things that way. To an extent, I thought that was sort of cool, because I told you the times that I was around Marvin Hagler, I was always apprehensive on what I was going to say, because I never knew how he was going to react. Because, you know, I didn't spend enough time around him personally to be able to say anything risque per se. I just couldn't, or I just didn't want to at that point. That he was not the guy. Put it this way, I got into his private workouts there in Las Vegas, of course, for I think three or four of his last fights, at least the fights he had in Las Vegas, the Duran fight, the Leonard fight, and I think one of the, maybe the Roldan fight as well, but the bottom, and the Mugabe fight. Okay, but the bottom line is, you know, he allowed me into his workouts because of the fact that Johnny Taco, the guy that ran the Main Street Gym there in Las Vegas, he was like my godfather. That's my first mentor when I came to Las Vegas back in 1980. He was like the guy that put me under his arm. Of course, he died in like 1993, and was sort of sad about Johnny dying, besides the fact that Johnny died, was that he was on the show the week before. The week before he died, he was on the show, and he was like crying, and he made me cry because he said they cut off his foot. When they cut off his foot, he was a diabetic, so they cut off his foot. He said he was going to the gym in a wheelchair, or he wanted to go to the gym in a wheelchair, this and that, and I start crying on the air. This just wasn't good. I mean, I just fell apart emotionally. Oh, we can go, let's go to a station break. I mean, that's how bad things were that day, okay? But I truly, I mean, that was my original mentor. I really miss Johnny Taco without it. Of course, Johnny Taco, as I said, allowed me into the Hagler workouts. I got to watch Hagler work. I think Marvin Hagler may have been the greatest middleweight of all time. May have been at one point in time. But when he fought Roberto Duran, he was long in the tooth at that point in time, I thought. And, of course, Duran was one of the greatest fighters of all time. And when he fought Ray Leonard, it was after the war with Tommy Hearns. And more importantly, after the war with John the Beast Mugabe. I mean, that fight went into the late rounds. That fight was an absolute war. I mean, guys just stood there and just traded shots. And Marvin thought it was, hey, this is what I want to do. I'm macho. I can outbeast the beast. Okay? And he did outdo the beast. He outfought the beast. Okay? But he came at a toll. And Ray Leonard saw that he came at a toll. Of course, Ray Leonard, that was in 1986. Ray called him out in 1987. Almost three years after the Duran fight, after Duran sort of exposed Hagler as being an old man. I mean, after 12 rounds, Duran was ahead. I mean, Duran was like 34 years old. He's a lightweight. He's moving up from originally 132 pounds, but 135-pound world champion fighting the 160-pound world champion. And, folks, next time you think that moving up in weight isn't a big thing, okay, remember when you grab 20 pounds of groceries and walk up the stairs? Grab 20 pounds of groceries and walk up the stairs, and that's what it's like fighting a guy 20 pounds bigger than you. It ain't the same thing. It just ain't the same thing. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look in the world of boxing and MMA. Lauren Wood. Laura should knock him into another time zone, especially with that weight advantage. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend, and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately,
Sadly, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491.
Hey, airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
President Biden recently released a massive $6 trillion budget, the largest budget in U.S. history. And guess who pays the bill? That's right, you, the American taxpayer. American citizens and business owners will be paying more taxes. That's a fact. And if you owe back taxes, they will be coming after you to collect payments. In fact, President Biden also hired thousands more IRS agents to go after you. If you got a letter from the IRS and you know you owe back taxes or you haven't filed in years, don't put your head in the sand. Call us today. We've saved our customers millions of tax dollars. One quick, free phone call will show you how we can reduce your past tax bill and save you thousands. Guaranteed, or you pay nothing. Call now.
800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039. Paid for by the Tax Helpline.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Some Tower of Power. Check them out, towerofpower.com. Of course, they've been funking it up since 1968. The mighty godfathers of soul. When it comes to horns, they are definitely horny. Check them out, towerofpower.com. Now, I mentioned before I go on and move on here, the Tyson Fury thing. Here's another thing. They're talking about Dempsey McKean. Who the hell is Dempsey McKean? They're talking about him being a model challenger for WBC heavyweight champion Tyson Fury, as is the aforementioned cruiserweight champion Jairo Paeta. What they're trying to do is they're trying to get something together down there in Australia. They want Fury to fight some type of an exhibition. Basically, it's an exhibition. I mean, he's fighting. Tyson Fury leaves a lot to be desired. He just does. He hasn't fought anybody. I'm repeating myself, but he hasn't fought anybody outside of Deontay Wilder and the three fights with Deontay Wilder since I think he beat Vladimir Klitschko for the title. I kid you not. He hasn't done anything whatsoever. And it's always, what have you done for me lately, or what have you done in your last fight? Well, he hasn't done much in his last fight, without a doubt. Now, last fights. Wow. We had some problems, of course, on the 20th of May, 2023, the lightweight championship going down in Las Vegas. Of course, the lightweight champion being in a hometown lad. When I say hometown, I'm talking about a guy that fights and lives in Las Vegas, Devin Haney. Of course, this is the week after a hometown lad and Raleigh Romero got the most controversial stoppage. I think maybe one of the most controversial stoppages in boxing history. How the hell can you say that? How can I sit here and say, how can I say it? Because was that atrocious? It just, I don't want to watch it anymore. It's just, I just can't figure it out. I'm trying to think maybe somebody had brainwashed Tony Weeks or something and put some type of sensor in his head or something like that, told him, stop the fight. Because that's the only way I can see him stopping the fight. So, I mean, it was either incompetence. People say to me, it's either incompetent or he's on the take, one or the other. Can it be somewhere in between? Can it be something other than the two? I mean, that's just, anyway, Las Vegas reeking in controversy off that stoppage, right? The very next week, they have the lightweight championship go down, and three judges think Devin Haney, the hometown lad, the guy from Las Vegas, of course, Larry Merchant has said time and time again that hometown decisions are crucial in boxing. But not when the lightweight championship's on the line. And it usually costs a guy 2 to 3 points in a 10-round fight, let alone a 12-round fight. So what I'm trying to tell you is that Devin Haney had all these advantages going for him. They held the weigh-in, get this, 30 hours before the fight. What the puck? I mean, come on, man. 30. It's supposed to be like 24 hours before the fight. They held this one 30 hours before the fight. They put in, they announced it. It was going to be an early weigh-in. Well, you know why it was an early weigh-in, right? Is that Devin Haney walks around at Daniel's weight. I mean, the guy's a huge, huge dude. When I say 135 pounds, he weighs 135 pounds for a split second. And that's it. Okay, just for like as long as it takes to get on that scale, get off that scale, boom, he's no longer 135. So, of course, as a guy that weighs 135 and then fights maybe close to 150, maybe 155, maybe even more, who knows? Nobody really actually knows. But the bottom line is, Vasyl Lomachenko, two-time world amateur champion, of course, lost once as an amateur. I think he avenged that one loss. But, of course, was twice beaten as a world champion at 130. at 126 and 130 pounds. But the bottom line is, at 135... He's facing a size disadvantage. He just is, especially when you have a guy a 30-hour weight advantage and a 30-hour window to weigh in, and then, of course, the guy gets to put on more weight. Anyway, at the end of the day, Haney was a bigger man, but size didn't matter this time because I think he got beat. I think he got outworked. I think the punch count guys, of course, the CompuBox guys, the bean counters of boxing, call them what you want, the accountants, bottom line is, they sort of indicated with their stats that Vasyl Lomachenko won. And, of course, you know, Devin Haney, of course, he looked like he was in shock. Devin Haney looked like, oh, man, I'm going to play this off. But the bottom line is, at one point in time, just before they announced the decision, I think he looked like he was in shock. Speaking of shock, let's go to the guy that truly was in shock, Vasyl Lomachenko.
Vasily, you hear the crowd, the respect they have for the effort. What are your thoughts on tonight's result?
Thank you. First of all, I wanted to say thank you, my God, Jesus Christ. Second one, I wanted to say thank you, big thank you, my team, father, manager, Andre, Katman, my family, my friends, and you guys, you are coming and support us. Thank you very much.
Did you feel like you deserve to be undisputed champion tonight?
I don't want to talk about this. All people see what happened today.
We talked about the size. We talked about the age. What was it about tonight that made you look the way you did? What fueled your fire?
Look, I think I show I can be in the boxing. Now I'm in a good shape. And see you next time.
Do you feel that your dream of being undisputed was stolen from you last night?
Look, I can't talk about this right now, you know. It's not a comfortable moment for me. And thank you for all people who come.
How good is Devin Haney? You've been in against the best. How good is Devin Haney?
Everything was in the rules. Everything was good. It was clean.
But in terms of his skill, his jab, his length, what did you think of Devin Haney, the boxer, tonight?
Look, before I think he will be better, but right now he's a top fighter, he's a good fighter, but he's not pound-for-pound fighter.
And finally, the future for you. 135 where you are smaller, or 130? What is next for you? Because you are one of the dominant 130-pounders ever.
Right now, I wanted to come back home, support my country, support my Ukrainian Orthodox Church.
Thank you very much, Vasily Lomachenko.
Wants to go back to Ukraine. Of course, the war with the invasion by the Russians is still ongoing. Of course, Ukraine is... it's a mess, without a doubt. We wish him the very best, of course, and his countrymen. But the bottom line is, at the end of the night, I'm not trying to say he got robbed, per se. I mean, nobody put a gun to his head and stole the fight from him, but it was pretty damn close. It just was. I mean, he clearly won more rounds than Devin Haney won. I mean, he was more dominant than Devin Haney was. And you want to talk about dominance and imposing your will? I thought he imposed his will far more than Devin Haney did. Anyway, at the end of the night, I thought he got shafted. A lot of people thought he got shafted. But, you know, Lomachenko's probably not going to want... they want to run that one back again. The fans want to run it back again. I don't know. Sort of like Jeff Fennick and Azuma Nelson. They ran that one back like 6 months later, right? And Jeff Fennick got lit up like a White House Christmas tree, of course, because that one loss... that it wasn't a loss, actually a draw the first time with Azuma Nelson. But if he had won that fight so clearly, so dominantly, to Jeff Fenech, the Australian star, that it messed him up psychologically for the rest of his life. It just did. He couldn't reach those heights ever again as far as being a fighter is concerned. Of course, getting denied that first time against Azuma Nelson. Then he got stopped by Azuma Nelson in the rematch they had down there in Australia at home. So you just can't. I don't know if Vasyl Lomachenko can rise to that emotional and physical height again. I just don't know if he can do it. And I think the judges denied him of that. Of course, the guy waiting in the wings is the best fighter at 135 pounds, according to Primetime Eddie Croft. Talk about Shakur Stevenson, of course, kid out of Newark, New Jersey, was like 21-0 now, 15, 16 knockouts, something like that. Of course, he's like shining at 135. He says he wants Devin Haney. Devin Haney says, bring him on. And yeah, right, sort of. But the bottom line is Stevenson beats these guys up in the gym all the time. I mean, he beats everybody up in the gym. Tank Davis, Gervonta Davis, all these guys. He lights them up like the White House Christmas tree in the gym. As far as the gym's concerned, it's all about Shakur Stevenson. Now, can he do that in the ring as well? I told you before that he throws punches that they're weird. He loops punches and he hits you with them. Not supposed to happen that way. But Shakur is an innate. He has an innate ability to punch you when you don't think the punch can land. I just don't know how other to put it than that. But bottom line is Shakur Stevenson is waiting in the wings. Whoever's going to step out at 135, I think it's going to be Shakur Stevenson. Eddie Cross says it is. Of course, Eddie was right about the Ryan Garcia fight a couple of weeks ago. Ryan Garcia, man, failing miserably against Gervonta Davis. Why? Because he went into the fight with half a heart and a cracked rib or a rib injury. But the half a heart thing really, really came true. It just did. You saw him walk into the ring, right? It was like, I'm going to die. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems.
My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC Rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra-high quality, ultra-reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
If you served in the Marine Corps, by now you know about the contaminated water problem at Camp Lejeune. If you were stationed or worked at Camp Lejeune from 1953 to 1987, you probably have a lot of questions. We have some answers. You could be entitled to compensation. billions of dollars are being allocated to pay for damages to anyone stationed at Camp Lejeune during that time. Unfortunately, it appears that officials may have known the contaminated water problem existed and did little to protect their men. The Semper Fi Code was not honored. If you or someone in your family has developed a serious illness, including various forms of cancer, call this Camp Lejeune legal support line right now. You can't turn back the clock and change what happened, but you can certainly call right now and learn your rights as a Marine. Here's the number.
800-725-1651. 800-725-1651. That's 800-725-1651. Paid for by Legal Alert Line.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You're irritating me now.
Mike Tyson, could have been me, talking about Dana White. Dana White, of course, my favorite guy without a doubt. Of course, the president of the UFC, the face of the UFC, the Ultimate Fighting Championship. I'm looking at his schedule, and there's nothing on his schedule. Amanda Nunes is coming up June the 10th, some UFC 289. After that, it's sort of like Volkanovski and Rodriguez. That's going to take place July the 8th. Of course, that's like the big card there in Las Vegas. Of course, the 15th, the return of Holly Holm, the girl that beat Ronda Rousey a few years ago. God, she's older than God now. I mean, come on. Holly, when are you going to give it up? I mean, you're a professional boxer for a long time. I televised, not only televised, but I was a ring announcer for a couple of her fights in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and that surrounding area. And she's like long and two. She's got to be like 38 years old, and she's still doing this stuff. You know what? She's going to be selling pencils. Put that, she won't need to sell pencils because she's made money, okay? But at the end of the day, she's going to be brain damaged. I mean, this is no way about, no way around it. I'm talking about, listen, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. When you get lit up, in MMA, you get lit up a whole lot differently than you do in boxing. You sort of got lit up in a street fight. You never know what you're going to hit with, elbows, knees. I mean, you get unbelievably just get knocked out. I mean, just get knocked out. I mean, at the end of the day, it's like crazy. I mean, but you're three times more likely to get CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, if you are an MMA fighter than you would if you're an NFL player or a boxer. NFL is like 2-1 compared to boxers, and boxers are like even money, something like that. But at the end of the day, boxing is definitely a contact sport and definitely a dangerous sport as well. But at least with boxing, your head gets to move back and the referee is going to stop the fight if you're in trouble. Okay, and in the UFC, they don't stop the fights. Dana says, if you stop the fight, you're not working here anymore. I think that's a subtle underlying threat. It has to be, because these guys are taking beatings, like horrific beatings, and the referee is not stopping it. And the doctor, the guy that's a physician, the ringside physician, he don't stop it either. He just does it. I mean, like, yeah, you know, I'm looking. What's he doing? Reading the newspaper? Come on, man. These guys are getting killed. When I say killed, I mean, you know, ghetto killed. I mean, it's just, and you're not doing anything, because when you hit somebody on the ground, see, when I hit this microphone, the microphone goes back if it's a boxer, okay? But when I hit somebody on the ground, there's nowhere for the microphone to go. All you can do is absorb the punch. Okay, that's why these guys in MMA are getting hurt, and these girls as well. Of course, Amanda Nunes, I wish her the best. Of course, she never fought the rematch of Cyborg Santos. Cyborg, of course, that was really the fight she should have done. Chris Cyborg said that was the fight she should have done, because she didn't want to do that one, the rematch. Of course, Amanda Nunes, of course, Amanda lost, came back and won her title back, but now she's long in the tooth. It's time for her to go away. I mean, what I'm trying to tell you is that he has no stars. I keep telling you this time and time and time again. If he's got to recycle Holly Holm time and time again, he has no stars. I mean, Dustin Poirier, of course, long in the tooth, a veteran, UFC 291, and Justin Gaethje, of course, the second fight going down July the 29th at the Delta Center in Salt Lake City. Of course, the Mormons will turn out for that. It's a good fight. Two all-white guys going at it. More power to him. But Dustin Poirier, he's going to be selling pencils pretty soon, too. I mean, come on, man. How many beatings can you take? How many lickings can you keep going? You know, listen, they're not Timex watches. These are human beings. What I'm trying to tell you is I think they should change those rules as far as MMA is concerned. You can't hit somebody or knee somebody when they're on the ground. You just can't do it. It's just not, it's not, listen, Dana's down for it because it makes his fights look exciting, okay? But at the end of the day, people are getting hurt, and they're getting hurt permanently. Of course, Dana's line on the CT is, quote, we all have it. Say what? Yeah, well, I don't think I have it. Now. I had like 52 fights, Okay, I don't have it. I hope to God I don't have it. I'm not showing any signs I have. If I am, send me a letter. But no, I mean, so Dana says, we all have it. What do you mean? Where the hell did you get it? He said he got it, like, sparring with those bums in the East Boston boxing gym he had back in the day before, because Whitey Bulger, the mafia, the Irish mafia that ran the... Why didn't you take care of Whitey? I know you're dead now, man, but why couldn't you have, like, taken care of Dana for me? You know what I mean? Because if you'd have taken care of Dana in Boston, maybe you broke his legs or his arms or something like that. Just taking some of that attitude off him, because he came out here to Las Vegas with an attitude. At first, he was a nice guy. He's kissing everybody's ass, okay? Then he got the purse strings of the UFC and the Fertitta brothers. Of course, Lorenzo and Frank Fertitta, they own the Palace and Station casinos in and around Las Vegas. So they had multi-million dollars, okay? Millions of dollars. They put in, I think they lost like 15 or 20 million on the UFC before it made a turnaround. But they were about to sell it. And then Dana got involved. Of course, Dana gets 10 points. Dana got involved. He nixed the sale. The Fertitta brothers were all upset at him. They were pissed off at the sale. But guess what? They sold it 4 years later for $4.4 billion. And I think, I'm not an accountant, but I think that's $4,200 million. $4,200 million is what they sold the UFC for. So more power to Dana White and the Fertitta brothers as far as being fantastic businessmen. But as far as, you know, doing the right thing, I know promoters aren't supposed to do the right thing. They're supposed to put on good fights. But at the end of the day, you know, you've got guys getting hurt. And when the guys get hurt in MMA, listen, you don't see Chuck Liddell. Chuck Liddell was the face of the UFC for a while. You don't see him on any telecast. You don't see him being interviewed. You don't see him on YouTube. You don't see Tito Ortiz. Tito Ortiz, of course, was the Huntington Beach bad boy. And, of course, he became a member of the city council. And he was collecting unemployment. I think he got caught collecting unemployment while being on the city payroll. What an idiot. Anyway, bottom line is, guys in the world of mixed martial arts aren't that smart, but they get worked by Dana. Dana works them. Dana keeps telling them, you're going to get big money the next time around. Big money the next time around. Francis Ngannou said, no, I'm out of here. Francis Ngannou is going to get $1 million to fight in the, at least $1 million to fight, plus a cut of the pay-per-views when he fights next year for the International Fight League. Of course, that's a long time to stay off. I don't know why he's staying off that long. I don't know if there's a no competition clause in his contract that just expired with the UFC. I think it expired in February. But I don't know if there's a non-competitive clause in it or not. But evidently, Ngannou is not going to hook it up until next year. But he's also exploring the world of boxing. And of course, I think that's really good for him, because the guy can punch. If you got punched with 4 ounce gloves, he can punch with 8 ounce gloves without a doubt. And of course, he hits you on the chin. I think he's got such leverage on his punches. He hits hard enough to maybe do rival Ernie Shavers. Ernie Shavers, George Foreman, Ron Law, guys like that. The hardest hitters, I think, in the history of the heavyweight division as far as boxing is concerned. So back to the boxing world. Of course, tonight's fights, as I said, not all that hot on him, but the Mauricio Lara fight was supposed to be good, the rematch with him and Lee Wood. Of course, that's going to take place in the UK, but Lara came in at 3.5 pounds overweight, and Lee Wood took the fight. That was a sucker move. I wouldn't have done it. Hey, if I was a 126-pound champion, and the guy came in at 128, or I was fighting a 126-pound fight, and I was a leaner guy, and the other guy was like the stronger guy to begin with, I wouldn't let him come in. That was like giving a guy kryptonite. That's like giving him kryptonite. You're Superman. I kid you not. That's lame. You don't give somebody a 4 pound weight advantage in a 126-pound fight. You just don't do it. Because if he has a 4 pound weight advantage at that weigh-in, what's he have come fight time? Maybe he's 145. Maybe he's 150 pounds. Who knows? Anyway, Mauricio Lara favored in size. So size matters in two things: pornography and combat sports. This is for the WBA featherweight title, or used to be. They took the title away from Lara. If Lee Wood wins, he gets the title. If Lara wins, the title remains vacant. Luis Alberto Lopez and Michael Conley, I think, are on ESPN tonight, of course. And then back to that fight last week, man. Still bad. I mean, Las Vegas, 2 weeks in a row. Vegas is the capital of boxing. It is. And Mark Ratner, the head of the athletic commission for like decades down there, after Chuck Minker died, of course, before he took that position with the UFC as a vice president and ambassador of goodwill. Anyway, he used to tell me, you know, when Dave Moretti, who was one of the judges that scored the fight for Devin Haney, of course, Dave Moretti's from Las Vegas, of course, he scored a lot of fights were sort of suspect. He gave Oscar De La Hoya a fight with Felix Sturm, 116-112, 8-4 in rounds, and De La Hoya definitely lost that fight. So he was off 6 points in that fight as far as my scorecard was. Off 6 points off my scorecard, I was there. So when I challenged, or when I confronted, or when I engaged Mark Ratner, the head of the Nevada State Athletic Commission at that point in time and said to him, look, Dave Moretti's bad for boxing, and so is Dolby Shirley. I said, these guys keep coming up with these odd scores. And he said to me, Pedro, don't complain as long as the right guy wins. Well, last week, the right guy didn't win. And when I brought this up to Mark Ratner, Mark Ratner said, had Lomachenko won the 12th round, he would have won. So therefore, Mark called it a draw. Diplomatic Mark Ratner called it a draw. What did you expect Mark to come up with? He's so diplomatic. He's like the Gandhi of diplomats, you know what I'm saying, of officials. He was going to come, he didn't win the 12th round, I called it a draw. Good way out, okay? Could have been a draw. I don't think it could have been a draw. Listen, when you look at the stats, when you look at the fight, you look at all 12 rounds, it's basic math, okay? You win more than 6 rounds of a 12-round fight, you've won the fight. If you win 6 rounds, it's a draw. I didn't think the fight was a draw. Some people try to say it was a draw. They're trying to give the judges the benefit of the doubt, trying to say it was a draw. Listen, the judges, I don't want to say the judges were they were walking, they were looking basically at a hometown guy. They were looking at a hometown guy, and they wanted to see what they wanted to see. They didn't want to see Lomachenko win. Lomachenko's not going to be considered the future of boxing. Of course, Devin Haney, they thought maybe some superstar bouts, Devin Haney being an American, things like that. In other words, it sort of smelled, and they threw things to the American side, without a doubt. Of course, the kid from Las Vegas, Nevada, fighting out of Las Vegas, Devin Haney. And the week before, it was Raleigh Romero. So what I'm trying to tell you is that Teddy Atlas this week said, maybe we should have a National Boxing Commission. Teddy, you're like 20 years past me on that one. I mean, come on, man. I was bitching about that 20, 25 years ago. Take that back. In 2004, we came up with Operation Matchbox, and I proved that some fights were fixed under the Top Rank banner. Fights were fixed. Cocaine was very freely available at different fights regarding different executives at Top Rank and things like that. Of course, fight fixing, as I said, was proven. One guy came, Joey Torres came on the show, and he admitted he threw a fight to Top Rank. He threw that. So anyway, I had them on the ropes, Operation Matchbox. Of course, they didn't, they survived. Of course, the attorney general at that point in time, I can't remember his name right now, but he said that he was going to throw this out because the FBI investigation was tainted because two of the guys were collecting information in Las Vegas for the FBI, had some mob ties. So they used some obsolete rule to like let Top Rank have a pass in that. Without a doubt, Top Rank and those people, they were going down. Fixed fights, fixed medical tests. And it wasn't Bob Arum per se. I'm not accusing Bob Arum of this, but his underlings, without a doubt, they were dirtier than yesterday's laundry. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, back to Dana. I just got a text on Dana. I'm too hard on Dana. I'm not hard enough on Dana. Are you kidding? Dana should be, listen, as I said, why do you didn't take care of Dana? And now the Las Vegas mob, evidently they're impotent or they're mute or Dana runs them or Dana has a piece of them. Because the bottom line is Dana has a free reign to do whatever he wants. He just does. He calls the fights. He puts guys, listen, guys piss him off. They get death matches. That's just the way it is. And if you survive a death match once or twice, like Max Holloway, you survive a death match once or twice, you end up like losing a controversial decision. They don't give you the rematch when you need it. And then, of course, you're long in the tooth. And Max is another guy going to be selling pencils pretty soon. You know those Hawaiian guys that, yeah, I'm the brother, that kind of stuff. Yeah, well, he ain't going to be even able to talk like that in six to 10 years from now. Max Holloway is going to be one of those guys, a poster boy for the UFC and the damage, the residual effects of MMA fighting. Now, as I said, I'm not trying to absolve boxing. I'm not absolving the NFL. But, you know, at least in boxing, there are some rules that want to prohibit or want to try to, like, make it easier for a referee to jump in and stop a fight if a guy's getting hurt. Of course, some referees don't do that. Then you got Tony Weeks that does it when you're not supposed to stop fights. That Barbosa fight with Raleigh Romero a couple weeks ago, still the worst stoppage I've seen since Joey Curtis stopped the Michael Doakes WBA heavyweight title fight. Well, Michael Doakes, who was Don King's fighter, wink, wink, the cocaine head, wink, wink, guy that went to jail for rape and all that kind of stuff, wink, wink. Anyway, cocaine had it, wink, wink, crack, 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 before you can imagine. Anyway, Michael Doakes was in this fight with Mike Weaver. In the first round, Joey Curtis stops the fight and raises Michael Doakes' hand, saying, what the duck? What the duck with an F? Okay, what the duck? Anyway, of course, later that night, there were pictures of Joey Curtis and Michael Doakes and Don King taking a picture together. What kind of crap is that? I mean, you're the official, you're the referee, taking a picture with a guy at a post-fight party? Mm-mm, that was crooked without a doubt. Of course, Joey Curtis, a crook, ran that construction company in and out, and he stiffed me for advertising money. Did I mention that? Yeah, he stiffed me for some advertising money as well. I was doing a show in Vegas at one point in time at the Imperial Palace Hotel. Some of you remember that. And he wanted some advertising on that. He thought he could, like, buy his way in. Yeah, if I buy my way into advertising. Anyway, he found that he couldn't buy his way in, so he never paid his bill. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA, live on Sports Byline, Saturday edition, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time. Of course, the PhD of boxing, Socrates Palmer, his daughter is graduating today. Sophie's graduating today, so we wish Sophie all the best. We'll send her some money via Venmo. Sophie loves that Venmo. All kids love Venmo. Straight up, if you haven't got your kid on Venmo yet, you're a good parent because it's hooked. It's like heroin. Just send me the Venmo.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. That's 800-754-4531.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-378-3508. 800-378-3508. That's 800-378-3508. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Fight of the year, knockout of the year, knockout of maybe the last 4 or 5 years. Holy cow, a clash of the vacant WBO Junior Bantamweight Championship. It's 115 pounds, of course. Undefeated former WBO flyweight guy, Hunto Nakatani, now 25-0, 19 zips. He knocked out former world champion Andrew Maloney of the UK. God, 25-3, 16 KOs in the 12th round. It was the most vicious knockout I've seen in a long, long, I can't remember a more vicious knockout. Maybe the Roberto Duran knockout at the hands of Tommy Ahrens we talk about in June of 1984. It was that vicious of a knockout. I kid you not. I mean, he was like starched. I mean, absolutely lights out. No, do you ever play a pinball machine? It was tilt. It was like tilt. I kid you not. Anyway, check that out if you can on YouTube. Andrew Maloney getting drilled by Junto Nakatani of Japan. I think he's the brother of the 135-pound Nakatani. Oscar Valdez, of course, the two-time Mexican Olympian, former 130-pound champion. He won his comeback fight last week against a guy that was a bit of a journeyman fighter, coming in at 16-4, now 16-5 with only 6 KOs. Bottom line is, if you couldn't dominate that guy, Oscar, you're probably not a world-class fighter anymore. The scores were like 98-92, 97-93, and 98-91, meaning he won almost every round. As far as the rest of the fights concerned last week's cards, put it this way. You look at the women. They sort of delivered last week. Chantel Cameron, the world junior welterweight champion, now 18-8 KOs, retained her title with world titles, undisputed across the board, with a majority nod over Katie Taylor. Katie Taylor had 22-1, 6 KOs. The scores were 96-94, 96-94, and 95-95. For that one judge to call the fight even was a bit of a rob. They tried to rob this girl. Bottom line is, she went over to Ireland and won. Straight up, congratulations to her. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Daniel's been rocking and rolling in the other room. Tomorrow, the impeccable one and myself return on Ring Talk Live Worldwide Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, right here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.